And I'm going to be pouring like martinis down some dude's like ass crack or something. And, you know, and it's like, okay, that's not appropriate for your 14-year-old baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good evening, Ted. Episode 146. We have beer, trailers, a crazy week, a short week, and I don't even know what else is going on, but we'll get into it, and there's a ton. So how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm interested to get into your week, but I think we should just crack these big-ass beers we got here.
I agree, man. These are we have a big beer. So Ted got this beer for me. Well, both of us, but he sent the beer tonight. And what we're doing is the beers I got, he's choosing, and the beers he got, I'm choosing. So I chose a barrel-aged Dark Star Fremont, because beer matters.
Yes.
Limited 2020 release. So this looks like it's a barrel-aged Dark Star. Oh, Imperial Oatmeal Stout aged in bourbon barrels. Okay, and it's, what, 12.6%, I believe.
12.7 is 12.7%,
yeah. Yes.
Don't cheat us that.
That tenth.
That decimal. That tenth of a percent.
So this is a 2020. I mean, I'm sure you could lay it down for like a number of years, but who the hell wants to?
Nah, let's just crack this.
I know. Let's get going here. Okay. Oh, smell that. Oh.
Mm.
Oh, it's incredible. It is incredible. Oh, I love when you're pouring it and it looks like, you know, how like CO2 when you put it in water.
Oh, yeah.
Like dry
yeah.
ice. I love when you pour it and you just see that.
It's effervescent.
You know what I love too about these kinds of beers? When, like, if you look at, you know, commercial grade beer, let's say, the head is very white.
Right.
When you see these kinds of beers, the head is like cacao powder.
Yeah, it's like chocolatey.
Yeah. Oh, that smells so good. I'm not even ready to taste it. I just want to take in the aroma.
Just take it in. Just take it in. And we have the perfect glass to do it.
We have the...
Our Tripel Carmelites.
That is creamy smooth. It's boozy, though.
Boozy.
You definitely taste the booze on the back end.
But the chocolate smooths it out, though, oatmeal. You know, it's got...
So good.
It's got a mellow.
So good.
It's got a lot of nibs in it. Clarissa has the thumbs up.
Awesome.
Clarissa just gave a thumbs up, and, well, you heard her one-word review.
One-word review.
Beats Ted's three-word review from back in the day.
Oh, years ago. Oh,
we're bringing back some skeletons. All right, man. So, yeah, how was your week, though? So now that we have the beer open,
okay.
And it's, like, truly an amazing beverage.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I thank you. It looks outrageous.
And we'll make sure that we don't tell Anne how much I spent on these. So we'll keep that between you and I.
Because I know she doesn't listen to our podcast.
So this week, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was the longest short week. It just was like.
Isn't it though? That's how it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Lots happened, man. Lots happened.
Lots happened. Lots happening. You know, it's. We got some time off from work. I guess not to get political, but you know, the work was happy. All the meetings on Wednesday got canceled in the morning so people could go watch and enjoy the inauguration. So
yeah, I didn't get to watch until we'll kind of talk about that when we get to what we're watching.
But, okay.
But I was working testing kids and stuff as it was happening, and so I didn't get to watch it until 2 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. So it was already like like long over.
Right, right, right.
Pretty much, I fast forwarded a number of things. Then somebody spoke. I paused, or not paused it, but I slowed it down.
You watched it, yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward all the pomp and circumstance that was
all of the walking ins and
yeah, I fast forward all that. And then, like, you know, I wanted to listen to his speech, you know, the yeah. inauguration speech with the thought, you know, it was appropriate.
Yeah.
But we could get to that in a little bit.
Okay, cool. So basically, beyond watching that, I started and finished a puzzle in the middle of the week. I had a 500-piece puzzle that I started and finished in the middle of the week. I have 2,000-piece puzzles that I'm working on right now.
So two 1,000 or a 2,000-piece?
No, two 1,000.
Two 1,000, okay.
Yeah, one Thomas Kincaid Pirates of the Caribbean scene, which is kind of hard.
So does he have like all the windows on the ship all lit up? Because that's how he does it.
No, yeah, it's every so yeah, it's the town, it's the cove, it's Tortuga.
Oh, okay.
So it all the windows, yeah. So the windows is the first thing that I'm putting
the
together.
Pain of light.
and then I have that Ravensburger that I started last week that's still going strong. Almost finished with that. I was trying to think of what goal I should make for myself with puzzling this year.
Oh, so you want to have like? Oh, I see. Oh, that's cool. I'm looking at it right now. So. Is that the one with the ship out in the middle of the harbor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's funny. It has two Jack Sparrows. There's one Jack Sparrow that's like on the sinking ship in the water. And there's one Jack Sparrow that's on the barrels. So there's probably another Jack Sparrow in there somewhere else.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, obviously the one you said this is a 1,000-piecer?
This is 1,000 pieces, and it's wow. And it's one of those crazy 1,000 pieces that doesn't have any regular shapes. It's like rounded pieces into other rounded pieces.
I love those kind.
Those drive me crazy.
So who got you the puzzle?
This puzzle we've had for a long time. We've pulled this puzzle out twice prior and unboxed it and flipped all the pieces over and then put it away.
Are you a Kincaid fan?
Not for puzzles.
No, no, no. I mean, just artwork wise. My
artwork is, he's okay.
My mom's like a Kincaid maniac. We have Graceland. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can see it, but behind me, there's Graceland. Oh, yeah. Above the fireplace.
That's Kincaid?
That's Kincaid. And we went to Graceland.
Yeah.
And so our picture at Graceland is on the picture of Graceland. The primary reason we got it, though, is because we were trying at the time. I mean, I like it, I guess, in some regard. But at the time, we were trying to make the room that I'm in with the computer. And I have, like, artwork that's Beatles.
Right.
Monopoly.
I like those posters over there.
Yeah. Well, those are from SpaceX.
Yeah.
We met people from SpaceX. They sent us a bunch of stuff. But the Kincaid, the Graceland Kincaid, we have the Beatles Monopoly. And then I did a collage, a huge, like, I guess it's 24 by 36. I'm looking at it maybe. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. 24 by 36 frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of, it's like a collage of all CD covers.
Oh, sweet.
So we were trying to make this room something to do with like music and art, something, I don't know, but it, whether it made it or not is to be argued, but it's somewhat thematic and, you know, hey.
A lot of space in there with your Saturn. Is it a Saturn rocket behind you?
Oh, that's the Lego Saturn rocket. Yeah. And then we have, we went to a launch because, you know, we're here by Vandenberg Air Force Base. So we went to a launch for SpaceX and the boys were little. I mean, they were probably like, man, maybe 2 and 4 or 3 and 5 or something. And the people that we were hanging out with, they were the ones who engineered the landing gear for like when it detracts or whatever, and it kind of unfolds before it lands on the re-entry.
Right, right, right. So, right, yeah.
So the booster re-entry.
Uh-huh.
So we were there and it was coming down and it was the first time they were ever going to land it here on the West Coast, and they were going to land it on one of those drone ships.
Yeah.
And it comes down and obviously, you know, you can't see the drone ship because it's out at sea, but the cameras are on and everything. And this engineering team was out and they were watching everything on like a computer on the back of this guy's truck or whatever. And it lands. And one of the legs that they designed, built, engineered all this stuff, as it lands, it just cracks off.
Oh, no.
And the whole thing like falls over and explodes. And it was like, this was the team that like built and made it. And I was just like, oh God, I feel bad for them. And you could just see like, they just turned ghostly white.
Oh no. Back to the drawing board.
Yeah. They were like, well, you know, it happened. But the seas, in their defense, the seas were really rough that day. I do recall. And that was part of it. And the thing was pitching and rolling. But the cool thing is they took our information. They said, when we get back, we're going to send you guys a care package, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent us those three Mars posters. They sent us t-shirts and stickers, and they had a nice note written for to Mikey and Timmy. And
oh, that's awesome.
Make sure you listen to your parents and study hard, and one day you might be building rockets to go to Mars and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. So it was really cool. It was really cool. Anyway, so you're building the puzzle. I don't know. That was a long way to go from building a Kincaid puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So I'm building puzzles. I'm trying to figure out if I should do like, should I do 2021 and do like 52 puzzles, do a puzzle a week, or try to average a puzzle a week? And then I was like, that's kind of expensive. So I don't know.
Are puzzles expensive?
Well, they're like $20 to $30 a piece, I think, for the good ones, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's kind of like beer, you know? You could do cheap puzzles.
Yeah.
But why? Like, let's do good puzzles and just...
Here's the thing, though. If you did a puzzle a week, and then like the end of the year comes, you know, like a year from now, and then you're just like, did all my puzzles... You know, like if nothing comes of it, like you have to have like there has to be something ceremonious that comes out of it. Or, you know, like at the end of the year, you're like, I did all this stuff. And then Ravensburg somehow catches wind. And next thing you know, you're like featured on one of the back of the one of their main puzzles. I don't know, like something. Sometimes you start an endeavor and you just start it to do it because you think it's fun. And then like, you know, you become like fake famous on Instagram. So maybe that's what you're after. I don't know. What do you think? Is that a premonition?
I love that. I love that how you just weave our trailers into this little endeavor here. Yeah. So yeah, maybe we look up and I'll look. Maybe I'll come back next week and I'll let you know what's the Guinness Book of World Records for like puzzles in a certain time frame.
Oh, that's a puzzle a day, man. Don't.
You got to do a puzzle a day. You got to be like without a job and just do a puzzle a day.
Keep in mind, anything Guinness World Record is, you have to like suspend life to do this thing is
nonstop hula hooping for
whatever it is, right? You have to suspend life to just do the Guinness book, because that's how you get you can't like you can't half ass it.
Okay,
I'll do a puzzle a week. No man, they're doing like a puzzle a day.
Okay, I'll figure something out.
Right.
Anyway, your week. Let's talk about your week.
So, you know, this slightly gets into what we're watching as well, because we didn't really watch much. Though we watched a little bit, but we didn't watch much because start of the week where the boys go to our friend's house.
Right.
She's a stay-at-home mom, and the boys go there, and her kids and our kids go to the same school. You know, we have two boys. They have a boy and a girl. Same school, same grades, different teachers, but everything's pretty much the same. And she does all the Zoom schooling, all the distance learning schooling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday night, she says, you know, I'm not feeling well. Let's see where I'm at in the morning. Morning comes, she said, I woke up with a fever. So we're like, yeah, don't worry about it, you know, and stuff. So, well, on the positive side.
Not COVID.
It's kind of a misnomer to say on the positive side, but... But yeah, non-COVID, so she's negative for COVID, which is positive, you know, like, yeah, you get it. Just, you know, a little under the weather. She's over it. But it was like, you know, we'll just keep them home the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So I was going in early and coming home, and Clarissa would be with the boys in the morning, and then she would go in late, and she's even going in tomorrow because she missed a bit of work and so on. But, you know, I would go in early, come home, she would go in late and stuff, and because of that we didn't really get a chance to watch a whole lot, unfortunately, you know. And then you have the short week, so it was only 4 days, And it's weird, though. It's like you have these this holiday and all this stuff, and then it's like it's still there's still the same number of days, but for some reason, like, you get caught off guard. You know, I don't know why that is, but it happens, right? Like,
no, it's awful.
You forget it's Wednesday, and the next day you have to put the trash out. Yeah. Because, like, no, it sneaks up on you.
I was out at midnight on Wednesday, and I was like, oh, no, the trash still has to go out. And I was putting the trash out, and then I went to go run on Wednesday morning, and it's, you know, that's the inauguration day. And I was like, where, you know, because sometimes on a Monday holiday, the trash trucks don't come till the next day.
That's right, yeah.
And I was like, if I stayed up till, like, if I was taking the trash cans out at 1 o'clock in the morning because I forgot, and they don't come today, I would be so pissed, you know? But luckily, they all came on their regular day, so that's all right.
Well, and, you know, and that's the funny thing, too, is when you think about, like, inauguration and everything, and, I mean, in my opinion, it should be a national holiday. Not,
yeah.
Actually, maybe not inauguration day, but definitely voting day should be a national holiday.
Voting for sure, yes.
Just give everybody the day off. I mean, close the gas stations. I don't care. Like, give everybody the day off so they could go vote, you know? And then from Wednesday's inauguration, I mean, I don't... It's hard to say. I wasted countless hours looking at Bernie Sanders mitten memes.
You shared all of it, didn't you?
Oh, I think I finished all of them. You know, even to name that I made one today. I couldn't help it.
I know. It was awesome. I loved it.
So everybody does him sitting in the chair with the crossed mittens. But I found one where he was on the phone with one mitten and then he's on the phone. So I thought, you know what, man, I'm going to do because everybody's doing the other one.
Right.
I found one where he's looking at his phone. And the way he's looking at his phone, it looks like he's taking a selfie.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking using that one, but you need the proper angle, like as if he's sitting in the bike with the proper, and I didn't have a picture like that. So I went with the phone call and played it off like he was looking for, he's calling his wife because he got a flat tire. So Bike Lanes of Lompoc, go check it out on Instagram, Bike Lanes of Lompoc. And you can see it, like it, and follow me over there because I talk about all the good, bad, and ugly of Bike Lanes in Lompoc. Yeah, I just doxed myself.
You didn't make that Urban Arrow one?
No, I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my pictures.
That's not the one you're talking about. Yeah.
No, the one where he's making the phone call, I made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one that you saw.
Yeah, no, but I thought you had two. You had the one where he's in the Urban Arrow.
Oh, no. I had...
And then there's one that they're running.
Oh, I sent you that one.
Oh, okay.
So, Cat 3 memes. So, there's different categories to racing. Cat 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and Pro and all this stuff. Anyway, so the joke is that Cat 3s think they're faster than they are kind of a thing. But that's a... Anyway, one of the people I send or I follow on Instagram had the one of him running up the hill, but that's Chris Froome, who's a British cyclist who lost his bike and he started running while he was waiting. So while he was running up this mountain waiting for his team to get there with a new bike, the Cat 3 guy put Bernie Sanders running up the mountain. So I love how his legs like all ripped.
I know. Is that legit? Are you allowed to run in a bicycle race when you don't have a bike?
You can run. You're not going to get very far, but you can run. You're not going to run for 100 miles. Let me just say, though, of the day, looking at thousands of Bernie memes, the five most notable, Bernie is sitting on the Game of Thrones throne.
Yes, yes.
That was good. Bob Ross painting happy mittens, or as we like to say here, hoppy mittens.
Nice, nice. Beer it up.
OJ trying on mittens so he could be acquitted, which I loved. Bernie dancing Gangnam Style. You know, from K-pop.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, everyone's favorite, Bike Lanes of Lompoc, Bernie making a phone call in the Urban Arrow.
Now here's my thing about the Bernie memes, you know?
Okay.
I saw people on Instagram. People on Instagram, they got I feel like some people got a little serious about it, and they were upset. And they were like, stop bothering Bernie. He's just...
Like we're making fun of him?
No, it's like this is totally an honor to be memed up like this It was not at all. I don't think there was a bad intention.
I saw it as pure love.
Yeah, there's not a bad intention among any of the memes that I've seen. You know what I mean? It's like
nobody did it in malice. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there was any of that. They're like, he's just a working man with a working sweater and stuff like that. And I think they're confusing, like, some people, like, just throwing shade on his style and on top of the memes. The memes are all good natured. But maybe talking about his style and saying, like, he's
like knitted mittens.
Yeah. Well, we know the knitted mitten. It was like the ugly jacket or something like that. And I'm like, I would wear that jacket. I don't
know. But think about it like this. Right now, there is some company out there making those mittens.
It's like a Vermont company, I think. I think it's recycled materials mittens, and it's Vermont made.
Oh, so it's all it's a thing. Okay. Oh, so his wife didn't make them.
No.
Oh. Well, I already saw like him sitting there with his arms crossed like that and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They have coffee mugs etched. I mean, like, people have sweaters and t-shirts. I mean, it's like, how did all these products all of a sudden come out in a day?
Yeah. Did you see the guy with the cardboard with got a piece of plywood, and they just show like a close up of him with his jigsaw and a plywood and then paint, and he's just like splashing everything around, and then he shows in the street a picture, you know, he shows the picture of Bernie, and then they pull the picture away, and it's the cutout, this wooden cutout that's painted amazing. Exactly like it. And he goes, you guys are quick.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So the thing I liked was there are also memes of Amanda Gorman. So she's the poet laureate. The woman, the girl. She's 22. I don't know. I think she's woman.
Technically a woman.
Yeah.
But when you get to be our age, a girl or a young lady.
Young lady. I like young lady.
There's a
monicum of respect when you say young lady. So they had some memes of her, and she's kind of sitting with her arms out, and it's fun. You know, she has like, she has her, you know, also in the Game of Thrones, that was interesting. But I like the one where she's sitting on the beam, like with the guys in New York when they're building the skyscrapers.
Oh, that was a Bernie one too.
That was another Bernie one, yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess basically you could just swap out all the Bernie memes with Amanda Gorman,
right?
In her masterful stance on the sofa. So
yeah, and she's from L.A.
Yeah, she's an L.A. girl, right? Like,
yeah, I know. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was just Zooming school with the boys. And it's funny, too. Like, you know, Amy takes care of so much for us and everything. And the boys come here, and then they're like, Dad, what do we do here? I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out. Like, come on. You're an independent learner. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I am so lost with second grade schoolwork, you know, and kindergarten's even worse.
Are you guys talking about, are they talking about the petition to for the kids to go back in March?
They've been talking about going back since September.
Right.
Yes, they're talking about in March. Will it happen? I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
What they're saying is, like, from the emails I've been getting district, inter-district and such, is the research indicates that elementary school kids, for some reason, whatever, I don't know the science behind it, but elementary school, they're either less contagious, they don't contract it at the same rate, or all of the above, something like that. But then once you hit middle school, like, those numbers increase. High school is like adults. So I think the elementary might go back, but I work in a high school, and I don't think the high school is going to go back.
Right.
And we recently changed all of our failing grades to no credit. So that means that you don't get an F, right? So let's say, for example, a kid gets... right now, the way high school's working is the kids have four classes and we're on a quarter system.
Uh-huh.
That's how they changed it for this year. So let's say a kid gets two A's and two F's. The two F's turn to no credit,
uh-huh,
and the two A's stay A's, so they have a 4.0.
No way.
So the no credit shows is just that, no credit, but it doesn't impact the GPA.
So you have some super overachievers that are like, oh no, I slipped to a B. I gotta bomb the rest of the
I gotta fail. Yeah.
I gotta get it down to fail.
However, if your class, like, let's say it's English 10 or something, like it's a grad requirement.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's no credit and it doesn't impact your GPA, but you have to take it again.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
So that's the thing. So the overachievers, if they're super over, like, let's say they're AP English,
uh-huh,
and it's like, oh my God, it dropped to a B+. I'm just gonna stop now and fail, and then I'll start over next year.
Take it again next year.
Well, sure. What are you gonna be, a fifth year senior with all AP classes? I mean, that's just so bizarre, you know.
Well, you got to game the system somehow, right?
Speaking of an overachiever, Superman.
Superman.
Superman and Lois on the CW.
Yes.
So the CW, I was trying to figure, is that a like a partnership between CBS and Warner Brothers?
It is. It has been, yeah.
Okay,
it has
so been. That's what I thought.
It's from way back in the day. You know, they're one of the older network. I think, it used to be like UPN, I think. Maybe that's a different one, but anyway, yeah. So it is one of the older, like, network off-brand kind of networks. And this is part of, I guess it's part of the Arrowverse, or from the people who brought you Flash. So, you know, it feels like it's got some stuff to it. I don't know. I dig CW stuff.
Well, what's the Arrowverse?
The Arrowverse. It's, so I believe it's, I don't know who else, but I think Greg Berlanti, who's also part of...
Well, what is the Arrowverse?
It's Green Arrow out of Smallville when Smallville was coming.
Okay.
And then Green Arrow kind of took over. And when Green Arrow went, they kind of went gangbusters and they did The Flash and they did a bunch of other shows that were in this... They called it the Arrowverse. I don't know why. It feels like it's more Superman, but
because the Flash is, because that's one of the cards that they put up, and the Flash is the one from Netflix, I'm assuming.
Maybe.
Or is that a different Flash?
I thought it's all CW.
See, this is where, like, the internet and all these streaming services just, like, oh, the Flash, and you're thinking like, oh, the Flash, like the one on Netflix, but if it's all CW, then it's a different Flash.
Yeah, right?
These guys.
Yeah, it's all Greg Berlanti. And you know from last week that I'm big into the Doom Patrol, which is also Greg Berlanti.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's the guy. He made all this stuff. He's mega wealthy from developing these TV shows.
I can imagine.
And
Clarissa seems to be pretty excited because the gal, Lois,
uh-huh,
is Elizabeth Tulloch, and she's the gal from Grimm.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I remember now.
All those years of watching Grimm.
So many Friday nights watching Grimm.
Oh, man. Like, I think we started this, in 2017? It took her at least like 3 years to get through Grimm.
She must have been watching episodes over and over.
You know what I love, though, is how Superman just, he's a kindred spirit. He just wants to get drunk.
But he can't do it.
He's not. Think about how many Fremonts he could tilt back and be like, 12.7. I don't know what the big deal is. And me and Ted are just like falling down
on the floor. So, yeah. So I like it. I don't know. It's interesting.
I like the guy in the, I don't know if it's a guy, whatever it is, but I like the Iron Man suit. And I especially like when he's in space and the guy in the Iron Man suit's about to take him out.
Uh-huh.
And they just quickly cut away and they go to a new scene.
Right. We don't know what happened there.
We don't know what happened.
The battle that ensues. But don't say Iron Man, because that's mixing your DC Marvel. You don't want to do that.
No, I know. But it looks like an Iron Man. And that's saying, and I don't want to mix it either, because that's implying that Iron Man's a bad guy.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Speaking of Iron Man, though, so we're listening to music tonight, and mm-hmm, Shoot to Thrill comes on from AC/DC.
Okay.
Mikey's like, because he loves AC/DC. I mean, he's a six-year-old, and it's, I'm thinking to myself, if AC/DC comes like to the Santa Barbara Bowl or something, I'm like, is it child abuse to take like a six-year-old to go see AC/DC? But like, he totally wants to. He's so into it. And he's like, oh, wow. Like, he totally recognizes Shoot the Thrill's AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mike, let's watch Iron Man, you know, like, so I look up that clip, you know, when he jumps out of the Air Force plane.
Right.
And he flies into his...
The expo.
The expo, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the cheerleaders and the whole thing's going on and Shoot the Thrill and he's there and it comes off and he's in a suit and all this stuff. Oh, man, the boys are like... Iron Man, like they just love it. So I told Clarissa, I said, you know, about a year and a half ago when we went through all of the Marvels, I said, we're gonna have to do that again. And what does Tim say? And Dad, it's gonna be so easy because they're all on Disney Plus, and we could just like every weekend we could watch like at least two movies. And Disney, they just tell you the order that they're in and they just like play every one of them for you. You don't even need a Blu-ray or anything. You know, I'm like, okay, Tim, sure, we'll get right on that.
He's working for marketing for the mouse. I love it.
Oh man, I mean, and as he's saying this, Clarissa gives me this look like, do we have to do all those movies again? And I look back at her and I just gave her like the confirming nod that was just like, yep. Because, I mean, you're looking at probably within 6 months, we're going to be doing all the Marvel with the boys, and they're just going to be like, oh, this is amazing.
You know? But remember the pain that you had because you were ordering them by disc on Netflix, and then they're coming out of order, and you were just like, we have to watch it out of order because they came this way.
The worst. The Marvel out of order is the absolute worst. Yeah. But it was just so funny, though, man, how like a 6-year-old just picks out the song and he's like AC/DC. And then, of course, I put it on and now Marvel is on our viewing list again. What'd you guys watch this week? Marvel again.
Marvel. We pounded through some Marvel.
Getting back to Superman and Lois, where do you get the CW? I don't even know. Is it its own network? Or I mean, it's
its own network. It's on a thing.
Do I have to pay for it? I don't even know anything about it.
And then the CW, I guess you can stream the CW the day after, it says, right?
Well, yes, but it's probably the day after with ads, right? That would be my guess.
Right.
So if I'm on my Roku, I download the CW channel probably.
Uh-huh. Yes,
the CW channel. I did no research on the CW before this episode, as you can tell. But that's because I never watched anything on the CW. But, right? I might watch this. This looks...
It's interesting.
I like it. You know, according to Clarissa, the guy's handsome.
Yeah.
You know, he has his 5 o'clock shadow that's consistently going. So I said, so I get it. You don't want me to shave. You don't like the beard. As you noticed, I did shave.
I saw you shaved.
You don't like the beard. You don't like the friendly mutton chops because I did friendly muttons all day until yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got to get those back again, man.
Do the mutton chops and just wear flannel and like carry on to... an axe or something, and be like, I'm just a friendly lumberjack.
No, I mean, I'm a DC guy. I like DC. I like Marvel too, but I think the reason I like DC is there's just fewer characters. Marvel has like thousands of characters, man. I mean, what's Stan Lee thinking? You know, it's way too many. His brain's too big. All right, man. So we talked about it earlier in the episode.
Uh-huh.
And with puzzles.
Right.
Ted wants to become fake famous.
Fake famous.
So this is HBO Max.
HBO Max. HBO Documentaries. It's part of that subdivision of HBO
so
Docs.
Ted.
Yes.
I love this because I'm in the middle of your book that you sent me.
Oh, good. You're reading The Attention Merchant.
Yeah. As you can see, I have my...
What is that? A monkey?
What do you call it?
Bookmark.
Well, no, it's a bookmark. Yeah. So the Attention...
What's on it? What's on your bookmark, though? Come on. There's a monkey on it or something.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. it's the J. Paul Getty Museum.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So the Attention Merchants, the epic scramble to get inside our head. Yeah, I just started it like a day ago by Tim Wu. So I finished I had a few other books I was reading and
right.
I finished those and now I'm starting this one. I'm about two chapters in.
So you did the penny help me out.
Well, the early newspaper.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just how they started, like, the newspaper can't, more or less, I mean, I don't need to go into the book so far, but since you brought it up.
Yeah, please.
More or less, the newspaper started off as, like, we're going to give you the news.
Right.
And we don't really expect much, but yet it costs us more to produce than what we make.
Right.
So we're losing money on every edition. And then I forget the guy's name, but it comes out where he's like, but if I sell ads.
William Hay, I believe. Let me look it up.
Yeah. If I sell ads, then we can make money at this thing and bring you better news and we can pay journalists and everything. So I think at the beginning, it probably had some more of an altruistic endeavor because it was like selling ads led to paying journalists, which led to better stories, which led to better everything. So getting to fake famous brings us to what I get out of this is primarily Instagram, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it feels like Instagram because they're doing a lot of pictures, a lot of photo shoots.
Do you think Facebook and Instagram have paid money to produce this thing?
Do you think? No, because I think this is not, I don't think this will shine a positive light on it.
Yeah, but you know, any advertising is good advertising, right? Even if it's bad, it still gets people to the platform.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they don't need advertising like this. I don't think.
Who's funding it is the question I have.
Right, right. No, I think just like anything with social media, it's an interesting topic that hasn't necessarily been revealed to the general public. And it might be an interesting cautionary tale for the Gen Zer out here there who wants to be fake famous or wants to have more likes or strives to have more likes. They live, especially with the remote learning, it's really strange that if we weren't in a completely virtual learning environment, I think I would curtail Audrey's exposure to Instagram a little bit. I would pull it back a little bit. But, you know, half the time, she says, oh, all the time. She chats with her. She uses it as texting with her friends. She texts in it.
I do that with people.
Yeah. But she does it almost exclusively. She says, you know, when I text her in messages, she's like, oh, it's so ugly in messages. like, I don't care how ugly it is. I'm just trying to send you a message. Like, get out here. You know what I mean? Like, get your smoothie for breakfast. It's ready. So I'm utilitarian in what I'm doing. So she says she uses it a lot, but she gets like over 100 likes on most of her stuff. And I'm like, how is that possible? Like, why do you have like that many peripheral people following you? And like, oh, and then whenever we go out, because we go out so rarely, whenever we're out, she puts on a fit, you know, fit check, you know, she wants to make sure she's wearing, you know, quarantine fit of the day. And then while we're out, usually on the way back from where we're going, like she went to the doctor with Anne this week. And on the way back from the doctor, she's like, can I just take my picture somewhere? Just find somewhere. and usually Anne will find a nice ivy wall or something because they're down, because they do it at Cedar Sinai.
So she does a lot of selfies.
She wants you to take her picture.
Oh, I see.
She wants like a mini photo shoot. And usually Anne's like, no, we're heading home. We're going home. But she's like, all right, I'm going to take one picture. And then she took like a bunch of pictures. And I was like, oh man, look, you're getting into this. You like, so they find a nice ivy wall in Beverly Hills somewhere. And then Audrey gets out and they take a couple snaps and then they get back in the car and head home. And then because her Instagram is synced to my phone, so I can make sure that I see everything that comes across, like it'll blow up, you know, like when she does those photo shoots. So I'm just like, oh man.
So who are the, is her account private or public?
It's public. It's for work because she's kind of like the actress. So she's public and it's a business account, which she's like livid now because she can't post music to a business account.
Huh.
So she's like, turn off the business account.
So like music in like a video or something.
Right, right, right. She wants to put background music.
Like background music, right.
Right. Yeah. And I guess if you're in a private account, you can do it. But I'm like, no, this is for your acting and your modeling. So that's why I'm on it. That's why the contact is me. If you reach out, it's me.
Yeah.
But, you know, but everything else is her. So it's just interesting.
It's interesting, too, because if you think about it, like, in an evolutionary sense, humans have evolved to have roughly 150 contacts, 150 friends, 150 social relationships.
Right.
And when Facebook was left to run, this is early in Facebook, when it was left to run wild without any manipulation, most people had roughly somewhere around 150 contacts on average.
Right.
You know, or friends, whatever. Not until Facebook started to manipulate things did people get like 500, 1,000, 1,500 or more, you know? And so it's kind of interesting when you have so many followers, so many friends, so many contacts, so many likes and all this stuff. And one of the things that I notice is there's so much, like, what's a good way to put it? There's so much play on the internet. Like, I'm taking pictures with my Bike Lanes of Lompoc thing.
Right.
And I get people like, oh, yeah, we're environmentalists too, and we love the environment. Come check out our products. You're an ambassador. We'd love to partner with you. And I'm delete. Because I'm just thinking, like, you're spamming me for whatever you're doing. Like, I didn't solicit this, and I'm not in it for profit, you know? And
right.
So it's just, it's.
But you don't really want free stuff?
Yeah, whatever. I don't even care, man. Like, the last thing I need is, like, okay, if you're environmental and you're going to send me a bunch of crap I don't need, what am I going to do, throw it in the trash? Like, that's not environmental. You know, like, save your stuff and just share my work, in a sense, you know, like,
right.
My message. You know, the other thing about it, though, is when did famous become an occupation?
Right.
When you ask kids, what do you want to do for a living? And they say, I want to become famous. Like, what? What is it? And that's like how the trailer leads in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand where famous is an occupation. Is there a college degree like, here's how to become famous?
Fame.
Yeah, I mean, fame. I want to live forever. Right?
Isn't that why this is why we podcast, right? Because we want to be famous.
You know, Ted, I podcast so I can talk to you, drink beer.
I know.
And we're just like, hell with it. Let's record it and put it out on the web. And if it goes somewhere, it goes somewhere. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know what, though? I think that's part of why, in my opinion, you know, why I feel like what we do is genuine, because, like, I truly want to talk to you.
Right.
We don't send each other like $20 beers. Like, you know, non-solicited. You know what I mean? Anne's not listening. I understand.
Yeah, right. It's all right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, but, like, we're doing this shit anyway. Like, just, you know what I mean? But, no, I mean, the bottom line, though, is I think it's that the internet is a place for people to go, and the people who, you know, older people, me and you, I think we can kind of see, like, we could kind of see the fault maybe in having millions of followers and millions of friends, and you know, we realize that the internet's fake in a lot of ways.
Right.
I would say not everybody does. You know, I think when you hit mid-40s, you start to recognize, like, wow, these things aren't the things that I thought were real. And when you're mid-40s and above, I would hope most people understand that. I don't think everyone does.
I think when you say most people, I'm like,
well, that, you know, might be true.
I think too many people are easily manipulated regardless of their age. And it's just I think there's a spectrum of curiosity. And on the spectrum of curiosity, the lower you are, the less curious you are, the more easily manipulated I believe you are. You know?
Yeah.
There's that healthy dose of skepticism, and then there's the, you know, the gullibleness of people that, you know, and this is just like the whole idea of facts and, like, can we share facts and how, you know, the idea of manipulating your audience is something that has really become a science, and sadly that is the case, because, you know, I think if you lack curiosity like a lot of people do, a lot of people, you know, like, back in the day, you didn't have to be curious. You were served things, and the sources that you were served from were legitimate. And they had, you know, we had three networks with three news departments, and they were all going after the same stories, you know? But now it.
And Walter Cronkite was like the man you trusted.
Exactly. And you trusted those people. And besides, you know, and I think maybe Hearst was the first, and you talk about yellow journalism.
Hearst was the first. I like that.
You talk about yellow journalism and you're like, ooh, that was so bad. He's like, you give me the pictures, I'll give you the war. And it was like, oh, now that is part and parcel of everything. Like, everybody does that. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you want to say like, it's only Fox News and it's only Republicans. But then now an article I read earlier today was like the New York Times, I think, or somebody talking about like, oh, Biden with his $7,000 Rolex or whatever. Like they were basically turning it into a class warfare. And I'm just like, do we have to stoop to sensationalism? Do we have to
clickbait,
do this
right?
For clickbait? And it's, you know, and you want to talk about the attention merchants, like, because I love it. I, you know, now that you're reading it, I own that. I might have to pull it out again and listen to it. But he, you know, when he needed stories for his newspaper, he would hire people to go and just sit in the galley and in the courts. And he's like, go to the family court because that's where the drama is. And it's like
totally
wives killing their husbands.
And yes. Like, yes.
You know, and it's just early. Like, and I was like, so, you know, I said, you know, there were three channels that we trusted, and Cronkite was trusted, but I think they had to elevate to that. And now we're back to the place where you can't trust anything really. And it's like, you can't, you know, dig to it. So it's like, being famous, is being famous a job? No, it's not. But will people, will companies, will brands pay you because you are, you know, because you're doing something? Maybe, like, you know, Ravensburger, if you're out there, let's make a deal for supply me with some puzzles and I'll put them together, you know? But I don't know. It's just a question of like, are you passionate about something? And then the passion creates this space for you to become famous, and then you're famous because you're doing something you're passionate about. And I think that all gets short-circuited. And I think you look at the end product of what happens, and then you discard the path that we used to take to get to that place.
Yeah, and I think to go along with that, when you think about like maybe, you know, whatever it is, let's say you're a magazine, a cycling magazine, a computer magazine, whatever it is, and you're going to be reviewing said computer hardware,
right,
or said cycling components or automobiles, or, you know, it doesn't even matter, it's just whatever your niche is, airplanes or something. And on the left page is the article reviewing the advertisement that just so happens to land on the right page for a video card for a computer. And you're saying how horrible this video card is, yet the video card ad on the other side of the page is paying the bills to allow that reviewer to write the scathing argument against that thing that's actually paying the bills. Like, there is a conflict of interest.
Right. Right. There can be a conflict of interest. Yeah.
There can be, depending on who's doing the writing, the reviewing, and what the advertising is and who's paying and all that. And then when you think about it, so they were talking in the trailer about buying followers, buying likes and such. Is that so you could have social capital? So if somebody lands on your page and sees, you know, 50,000 followers, you're like, you're more likely to follow? Is that where the research leads, probably?
Yeah, well, and I think there's also a benchmark, a flywheel of followers. So it's like, if you have your first 1,000 followers,
it just revs itself up to where they just, yeah, it's just,
if your first,
well, that's exactly what I'm getting
are,
at. Yeah.
Your first 1,000 followers are legit, and then you kind of stall out, and then you're like, oh, how do I generate more followers? So then you work on that. Yeah.
And let's say you don't buy any, like you're like all like, let's say you have 50,000 followers. Let's say they're all legit, right? They're not like fake or anything. I think it goes along with like what Warren Buffett says about like the first million is the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, like your money just starts making money and all this.
Right.
I think when you think about followers and social media and so on, yeah, your first 1,000 followers are probably the hardest to acquire, to come by.
Right.
And then once you have that many, it's just like this, like you said, a flywheel. It just starts going and it just grows exponentially because everybody wants to be a part of the party.
Right. Exactly.
Invited to the party or whatever. But yeah, this totally intrigues me. I love this kind of stuff.
It's a documentary. You love docs.
I do. And I forget, there was one on Netflix a while back and it was something similar. And I think Paris Hilton was the primary on this one. I'm not going to try and find it and go back now, but it pretty much was roughly the same thing. Like, how do you become famous on the internet? And what they were saying is like, people get a pair of shoes, maybe Nikes or, you know, Reeboks or something, and they get a pair of shoes and they say, just wear this in your next, you know, we're going to send you this $100 pair of Nikes.
Oh my God. What are you talking about? $100? There's no $100 Nikes.
Oh, that's too cheap.
Yeah.
Whatever. The $500 pair.
There
of
you
Nikes,
go. Thank right? you.
Yeah. So put these on in your next photo on Instagram and then whatever you're, and then there's a picture of a guy sitting by the pool with these shoes on. And what does he do? He kicks his feet up on like a Chase lounge or something with like a margarita or something, right? An umbrella drink.
Yeah.
You might, and they're quote unquote influencers, right?
Right.
And that might have even been the documentary Influencers or something. But anyway, so this guy takes a picture with these Nikes and all this, and he has his feet up and they put it out there and they have like these, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, and you're looking at the guy, he's like some no-name dude, doesn't do anything other than like wear products on Instagram. And the way he positions himself is he wears all these products, watches and shirts and necklaces and hats and shoes, you know, recognizable things, you know, handbags and stuff, you know, man purses. And he gets all these like $1,000 pieces of accessories or whatever. And it's like, here's all your stuff. Money hand over fist, tens of thousands. They're paying him now tens of thousands of dollars just so he keeps promoting their gear. And the guy in this documentary got to the point he was trapped. He's like, I don't even want to do this. But I got myself so deep into debt with like Ferraris and houses and all this stuff that he's like, I can't stop.
Right.
Because if I stop, I go bankrupt. You know, like essentially he made a deal with the devil, you know, and it's just like,
it's like a Twilight Zone.
Totally, man.
Episode where it's like, I want to be the greatest pool player of all time.
And yeah.
You're stuck playing pool for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You know, like I don't ever want to lose, and you never lose. So like nothing's ever fun again.
Right.
So honorable mention, the boys asked that I mention Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous Season 2 is out.
Oh, it's out?
Came out today.
Oh, no.
So they watched 3 episodes. They're so excited.
Bryce loves this series.
Oh, the boys do too.
He was waiting for this to come out, but he's in punishment. He was not keeping up with his schoolwork when he came back to school. And then he was not telling us about it. So we had to find out from the teachers and all the stuff. And it was just like,
so he was lagging and then you asked and he said, I'm good. And then he wasn't.
Exactly.
Oh God. I think I was there once as his age.
But anyway, so yeah, he's catching up. So he's going to have to. He's going to have to do his time, and then he'll watch the Camp Cretaceous after. But, yeah, no.
Cretaceous?
Sorry. Crustaceous.
No, it's not a snail. It's not like Camp Lobster. Camp Lobster Shell.
So it's good. So they love that first season.
I don't know if it's good. It the boys were like, it comes out today. Like, I'm like, how do you know? Because we've been watching Netflix and every day it tells us. I'm like, oh, God.
So Netflix has their internal marketing working.
Oh, yeah, they do. So that was an honorable mention for tonight from the boys. So,
okay.
What are you watching this week? Speaking of that, that's what the boys are watching.
That's what the boys are watching. I'm happy Servant is back on Apple TV Plus. So I'm watching that. But that's one of those slow played ones that comes out once a week. So just a couple episodes in. It's unclear what they're doing.
Servant. What platform?
Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay.
It's a slow burn on that, so we'll see. But I was looking at some of the directors of upcoming episodes, and M. Night Shyamalan's daughter gets to direct the third or the fourth episode. So I'm interested to see her take on directing, you know, being somebody who grew up under M. Night Shyamalan, who I like as love as a director. So
would you say that the show follows along the mystery science thriller that M. Night Shyamalan does?
Yeah, I think it's more along the lines of horror thriller, supernatural. Yeah, it has some supernatural
horror thriller science mystery. Yeah, right. Maybe not mystery horror, I guess.
Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, supernatural kind of thing. It's yeah, so it's in that vein.
So his daughter then doing it should fall, assuming she's similar to what her dad's doing.
Well, and that's what I want to see. I've seen a couple of the episodes he directed in the first season, and the very first episode is, I think, I talked about it previously on the pod. It was my favorite hour of television. One of my favorite hours of television last year, setting Ted Lasso aside. So, yeah. So that's what I'm watching on Apple TV Plus. And then WandaVision. Are you watching WandaVision?
No, haven't watched WandaVision yet.
It's interesting.
I say yet because I do plan to.
You're going to watch it. It's a slow burn. It's very interesting.
It's three episodes in so far?
It's three episodes in, 2 weeks in. They did two episodes in the first week, and then tonight they did the third episode.
And it's a weekly, like Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's really fun, and the intensity is really, it's really like, it's another slow burn, and it's just like everything. I think slow burn is my new 2021 favorite flavor.
Slow burn.
You know, it's just like,
is that because you're wearing mittens, or what's the like, you're feeling the burn,
the burny burn.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the couple things I'm watching. Oh, and then I saw The Way Back, which is the Ben Affleck movie about, he's a drunk basketball coach.
Oh, the basketball coach. We covered that. Wow, what episode?
Oh, man.
Oh, this guy, he's not even prepared. He's watching it, not even prepared. Well, while you look that up, so we watched Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, nice.
Because we want to watch... Well, not we want to, but we are watching the Star Wars movies. And I asked the boys, I said, do you want to watch them in chronologic order or in release order? And they're like,
ooh,
let's do release order.
Okay.
I said, well, that's how I saw them because I had no choice.
So do you make them wait 2 years between each one?
So by the time we get to the latest one, it's going to be like 35 years from now. Yeah. I'll be like in my 80s. No, we're not doing that.
I'm just kidding.
So we finished Empire. I think tomorrow night we're going to do Jedi.
Okay.
And then we're going to go back and do Jar Jar in Phantom Menace and work our way through the prequels. And then we're going to jump ahead and we're going to do, you know, so, and that was the boys' decision.
Right.
To do release order instead of chronologic order. So I think that's really cool that they wanted to do that because they said, no, we want to watch it the way you saw it.
Make sure when you jump to the last trilogy, to the Force Awakens trilogy, that you sprinkle in A New Hope. Rogue One and Solo.
And Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we're exactly. So okay. We're not going to, I mean.
A purist. If you're going to do release order, do release order.
We're going to do release order. Yeah. We're not going to do like, I mean, because, well, let me back up. I would say that Rogue One and Solo are still canon.
Yes. Definitely.
If they weren't canon, then maybe I wouldn't do them because they would just be one-offs that didn't matter. But right. They do matter because
they are Star Wars stories.
They fill in the blanks.
Right.
Totally. So, and Rogue One, I mean, we talked about this with Frankie, and I think the big thing there is I complained there was no opening scroll.
Right.
And then you said, well, the movie is the opening scroll.
Right.
So, in other words, it really should be, or really shouldn't be a Star Wars story, but it should be just a part of the lineage and the chronology of Star Wars.
Right.
Why would you pull that one? Like, Solo, I could see.
Oh, right. I got you. Yeah. You know, and I think it's because, so my thought is that the original three trilogies are Skywalker trilogies.
Yes.
It's Anakin Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, and Rey Skywalker.
Oh, so nine movies.
All Skywalkers.
Are Skywalker movies.
Right. And Rey's the adopted Skywalker.
Right.
But she still takes the mantle of Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I see what you're saying.
You froze for a second, but you froze in this most thoughtful thing that it looked like you were actually just contemplating it when you were frozen.
Ted, I was contemplating that, believe me. Okay, I get what you're saying. What I would say, though, is if you're looking at it from a Skywalker tri-trilogy.
Right.
If you want to look at it that way.
Tri-trilogy, yes.
A tri-trilogy versus a side story. I would say, though, that Rogue One is right in line with the trilogy because, I mean, it literally ends where Star Wars begins.
Yes, 100%. But it's Jyn Erso's story.
No, I understand that. Right. I understand that. But what I'm saying, though, is Solo is literally a side story to the whole thing, more or less how he got a hold of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
But anyway, so tomorrow night's Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
So every weekend we're going to do a Star Wars movie.
Awesome.
One of the things I didn't talk about that I wanted to, and I don't know, we got sidetracked maybe with Frankie and maybe because we didn't record for a couple of weeks, but we did watch The Minimalists.
Oh, you did watch that. Okay, I was wondering if you had.
Yeah, so we watched it on New Year's Day, the day it came out.
Wow, big fans.
Yeah, so the funny thing is we watched it during breakfast. Like, we woke up, we're like, oh, let's watch The Minimalists. So, and we never watch anything in the morning. So, but we want, you know, I'm like, it's an easy one. It's like under an hour, I think.
Well, you know, they got to be minimalist about it. So.
They're minimalist, right, exactly. And that's always the joke. Like, sometimes they're talking about things on their podcast. I'm like, that's not minimalist. It's the story that you hear in the podcast.
Okay.
Too often. The story that they told. So like I take their podcast as a drinking game.
Okay.
When you listen long enough, they say things that whenever they say it, if you drink, you would be smashed because they repeat themselves often. And this documentary is more about just telling you what you already know about them. However, if you're new to The Minimalists, I would say it's a great documentary. If it's something, you know, if you're just watching because you're like a fan of their podcast or something, or their books or whatever you're into, or all the above, then it's nothing more than what you already know. And meh.
Okay.
It's all right.
So it's more of a gateway drug to the podcast if you don't know about them.
It's a gateway drug to their whole brand.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the podcast, their books, I don't think they have t-shirts, but if they did, it was to the t-shirts too.
How could they support making t-shirts?
Don't buy anything, but while you're buying get our t-shirts, you know?
No, get an old t-shirt. We'll send you the
buy
template.
Buy our stencil.
We'll send you the template and just get a can of spray paint.
But the big thing that you drink to is drudging through the drudgery.
Oh, is that what he says?
Every time you hear him say that you drink, and he says that like three times an episode.
Oh, no.
So what else we've been doing is we've been drudging through the drudgery of the Clone Wars. We're still working through.
I know. I told you when Bright, you know, I had one of my coworkers, she said her kids are rewatching it or, but yeah, what season are you guys on? Because I was like,
I think we're on five. We got to five.
Yeah. I think around season six, it was like, Bryce was like, gotta go watch some Clone Wars. Gotta go back to the mines.
he's just putting in the work. He's punching the clock at that point.
Gotta punch the clock and just like get through these three episodes. I'll just play Legos. It'll be in the background. It'll be fine, you know?
Well, and then Rebels is another one the boys are watching currently.
That one was, I think that one was properly timed. Like, I think it's a much stronger series.
So I could say, like, I'm not watching it with them.
Uh-huh. You're peripherally watching it.
But while I'm cooking dinner and stuff, yeah. Like, I could see the, you know, where I'm cutting garlic and onions and whatnot, I could see the television, I could hear it, and I'm kind of just, like, watching and stuff. And from what I could tell, I like it better.
Ezra's amazing. I like Ezra and Kanan. Their relationship is great.
Yeah, and I told Clarissa, I said, when we're done with Clone Wars, we are going to watch Rebels. and Clarissa just gave me like that side look.
She's like, you're making me watch all this stuff. I got to watch the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I got to watch all this Lucas stuff. Can we just rewatch Grimm together or something?
And what's on the horizon, which we haven't gotten to yet, but what's on the horizon are going to be the three Raiders of the Lost Arks. Well, Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice. Five. There's five.
There's five?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The Crystal Skull. And that's, oh my God. Like, you know, sometimes you want to forget a few movies.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So, but I guess we'll watch all five.
It's called The Last Crusade for a reason, right? Like, because it should have been the last. And they're making another one.
I know. You know, The Last Crusade, when the two scenes, when the place catches on fire and they're going round and round in the
in the fireplace. Yeah,
the fireplace. Oh, and speaking of going round,
that's very close. That's almost one scene. It's really just there.
It is. Yeah. And speaking of going round and round, we also watched with the boys this week. So we did a lot of replays this week. We watched Young Frankenstein.
No way.
So, yes.
You mean Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. So, Timmy makes this Lego thing where he does this, like, spinorama entrance into some lair that he's making, right?
Uh-huh.
And he has, like, this half-circle cylinder thing, whatever it is, and he puts it on a turntable, and like the little guys, the little miniature figures go into it, and he turns it and they pop out the other side. And so, and he starts laughing and he's like, look, I'm making him dizzy. And he's spinning it and spinning and spinning it. Right.
Uh-huh.
So all I say is, put the candle back. And it stops him cold. And he looks at me, he says, what is that?
Uh-huh.
So I go to YouTube and I say, well, let me show you. So I put on the, because of course YouTube has everything.
Right, right, right.
So all I type is it, put the candle back. And sure enough, there's Young Frankenstein. And it's Gene Wilder and Terry Garr.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's that scene where they're doing the bookcase and put the candle back and everything. And they were laughing hysterical. And then the scene ended. And so Timmy said, well, what's down the staircase? And I said, well, do you want to watch the movie and find out? He said, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we put it on. I make popcorn. The lights are off. And it's like the scary kind of movie. And Timmy was a little apprehensive. And Mikey said, is this scary? I said, well, let's watch and find out, right? Oh my God. They're laughing. I mean, they're in hysterics. They miss some of the adult humor.
Yeah. Rolling the hay. Roll.
Well, and they're even we're eating breakfast the next morning and they're like saying that, right? Like, and I'm laughing and they're like, I don't even know why that's, and they're laughing and they're like, I'm laughing, but I don't know why it's funny. I'm like, you'll find out sooner or later. You'll find out later in life or whatever I said, right? And they're like, well, tell me now. I'm like, you're not old enough. And they're like, but why can't I know? I said, because you're not old enough.
That's funny. That's funny.
But they loved it. I mean, they absolutely loved Young Frankenstein, man.
And the black and white didn't bother them.
Not at all.
Zero.
The minute black and white came on, they were like, ooh, an old movie. You know? Like, and they were into it. Like, I think the black and white was more of a draw than if it were color.
Really? Awesome.
Because it totally pulled him in to say, this is old. Old is scary. Gary is interesting. And I'm with mom and dad with popcorn. I feel safe.
Okay, cool.
You know, I think that was kind of like where the whole like thought process was going and stuff. And oh, they were into it. And as it went on, oh, and they love Marty Feldman, you know, because of his...
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah. And then just his silliness and stuff, you know, and oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. So
that reminded me, we had another viewing earlier this week. Abbott and Costello, we watched The Time of Their Lives.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I love Abbott and Costello.
And I'm not a big Abbott and Costello fan, but Anne is.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah, Anne loved this. And she showed it to us, and I was like, oh, man, that's a good movie. Like,
I love Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein.
I know, right? That made me think of it.
Abbott and Costello meets the Dracula, the werewolf, like all those. Yeah, but The Time of Their Lives, man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are nuts. You know, I like them better than Laurel and Hardy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, if you like, they're cut from the same cloth, but they're different takes on the same idea or the same formula. You know what I mean?
Well, it feels like, and I don't know. I guess I haven't seen a lot of the Abbott and Costello ones, but the clips of Laurel and Hardy that I saw, they really were more of a vaudeville act. Doing the same shtick through different movies.
Well, they were 20 years prior.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense then. And Abbott and Costello, it's like they're two actors that work together a lot. But even in The Time of Their Lives, they don't really have that interaction. They have a competition that they compete.
Well, who's on first, right?
Right. They compete with each other. But they don't have the same interaction across the different movies. So it's like they really like can get into different characters. And it was, you know, it's hilarious. So, you know, we'll see. I'm interested to see more Abbott and Costello with the kids.
Interesting. So that's cool. That's cool. And I think it's cool, like, when you go back into the 40s and 50s and such, and you have kids. I mean, like, so much of media is, you know, Hollywood, you know, explosion movies,
right,
or CGI, and there's so much of that going on. And when you get into something like an Abbott and Costello, or did you ever watch the Hollywood one? Hollywood.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, that was awesome.
But it was a series, right?
It's a series. Yeah, it's like 8 episodes or something. You know, it's about the gigolo gas station.
Right, right, right.
Oh, that was great.
Was it good? Okay.
I think it's on Netflix.
All right, I'll try to give it a watch.
Yeah, and you know, I think Anne would enjoy it and appreciate it too. It's not kid friendly.
Okay.
Rock Hudson is in it, and you know, it's kind of Rock Hudson getting into his
promiscuous stage.
Not just his gay relationships, but also his...
It's like using people kind of thing, right? It's like...
Like, there's one thing about having a relationship, and there's one thing about being involved in an orgy.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So if it was just Rock Hudson saying, you know, this is my boyfriend or
right,
the guy I'm into, and we have this relationship, that's one thing. And with your kids or something,
there's a healthiness to it if it's done in the right
it's
way.
It's appropriate to say, like, I'm in this monogamous relationship and I love this person.
Right.
As opposed to, we're going to have a sex party and I'm going to be pouring, like, martinis down some dude's, like, ass crack or something. And, you know, and it's like, okay, that's not appropriate for your 14-year-old, baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
With that, how, speaking of pouring drinks down ass cracks, that's bad. Beer is good.
Beer is
How
good.
Is your beer? How did it finish? I still have some.
I still have a little bit. I still have a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a sipper for sure.
It's a sipper for sure. I think I might actually bring this back into the house and finish it up with the wife.
Mm.
She won't have any of it, but it's fine.
It's amazing.
It held its notes like throughout. I thought it would mellow. I thought it would get bitier, but it started bitey and it held throughout.
I would agree with that. It is exactly, it ends exactly how it finishes.
As it starts.
Yeah. Okay. Can you tell it's 12.7?
It was 12.6. You would have done that correctly, but it's all
right. That's right. But that extra 10th got me. No, it is very good. It's, as I keep belching, it is as boozy as it was in the beginning as it is at the end. I don't think it's very smooth, but I don't think as it warmed, sometimes they become like sticky and creamy,
right.
And like,
right.
Yeah, you know, like I'm done with it. No way, man. This thing stayed on point. Sip in, sip out. I have to thank you. You chose a good one. I don't know how you picked this.
Because Fremont, because beer matters. Come on. We Fremont is one of my favorite non-LA beer companies, beer brewers.
Amazing. I love it though, man. Great choice. You have a palate and beer, you're a beer aficionado beyond your means.
Don't say beyond my means. I hope I can afford the beers here.
No, I don't mean financially. I mean like taste and yeah, you're just amazing at picking beers. This is fantastic.
So you were promoting your Instagram account. But I was like, I went, you know, when I went there this week.
Bike Lanes of Lompoc.
Bike Lanes of But you have another one too, I think. We won't talk about
well,
that.
Well, yeah, that one's private though. That one's private.
Okay. But I went to Valley Bev and to pick up some beers this week just to have because I have all these beers in the fridge, but I can't drink any of them.
Tell me about it, man. I have a whole fridge full of beer. I'm like,
I have to buy more.
Got any beer out there? I'm like, well, I do, but not for you.
So I went and I got some more beers. I got some Bottle Logics that were really good, and that's just a great
Bottle Logic, yeah.
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 Classic thing. But I went to Valley Beverage, and I was like, do you have a business card, or do you have something to so that I can...
Is Valley Beverage where you... Is that the one that Frank goes to?
That's my new spot.
So you have outdrank in
The Handy Market. The Handy Market, you know, if we ever go back to work and I ever have to go back to Burbank, Handy Market would be back in the mix.
It's kind of far.
But Valley Beverage is really much closer.
Where is Valley Beverage? Is it in Van Nuys or something?
It is in 14901 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks.
Oh, Sherman Oaks. Okay.
I call it Van Nuys. Anne's like, that's not Van Nuys. That's Sherman Oaks. And she's right.
Yeah, but when you think about it, though, like the whole valley is Van Nuys. And then all of a sudden it becomes Lake Balboa.
Right. Exactly. So I go, I'm checking out this week with my beers and with some beers for a friend of mine. And I said, do you have a business card? Do you have anything? He goes, oh, just check us out on Instagram. Just follow us on Instagram, Valley Bev. So
Valley
if
Bev.
You guys look at this Valley Bev, V-A-L-L-E-Y-B-E-V. It's awesome because he gets all of his stock and he takes pictures of all the new stock. So
does he sell online? So like, you know, where he ships and stuff?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. We'll have to go to valleybev.com and see.
Yeah, because I get all my crazy ass stuff from the back room.
Uh-huh.
You know, Valley Brewers and Solvang.
Oh, yeah. You can order it.
And, oh, you can. So,
yeah.
I wonder what his prices are interesting. Like. Because where I go, man, they're like outrageously expensive. But
right. Well, these guys too. So.
Yeah. It's like you get anything off a one-off, you're going to pay It ain't no Bud Light, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's not done commercial, but I mean, you know, and the thing is, they got to make money, and the
right, of course, they're local businesses, and they're usually supporting local brewers, so it's like,
and you're a brewer doing whatever, a 500 gallon batch, let's say.
Like, look at this, look at this Firestone.
It's amazing.
That's all the Firestone. You know that skull and what you know, you've had those, the crazy sours and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I took you over to the
yeah.
to the Barrel Works over exactly. there in Buellton,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that's right. We've been there before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you go over there and it's like a snifter is like, you know, a little snifter is like $8 or something. And you're just like, what?
4 ounces.
but at the same time, it's like you're never going to have that flavor again.
Right.
So there is, you know, I hate to put it this way, but it's like there is a reason to pay that money.
Right. It's an experiential thing.
Right. If you just want to get drunk, just go buy some Bud Light for a few dollars, you know, like or Coors Light. You could do that any day, easy. It's cheap. But if you want to experience like a wild yeast strain beer, then you go to the Barrel Works. They've curated their own strain of yeast
wow.
that you can't get anywhere else in the world, literally, you know, and you drink the beers they're making with it. And yeah, you might spend like $6-$8 for, you know, 8 ounces.
Right.
And you might think like, wow, that's a lot of money. And it is.
Yeah.
But you will never get that anywhere else in the world. And when you think about it, it's like you said, okay, so you spend $16, $20, $30, you know, and you have a wonderful afternoon doing something you may never, ever do again.
Right.
And if that's the case, if you never do it again, like, what else have you done that you've never done again that you spent way more money on that was far less fulfilling?
Yeah, no, I love it.
All right, man, let's get out of here. We'll talk to you next week. And I look forward to, well, next week's one of my beers.
Oh, now I'm going to pick one of your beers.
You're picking one of my beers. So it's the tit for tat.
The shoe is on the other foot.
Love it. Love it. All right, Ted.
Talk to you later.
We'll talk to you. Bye, man.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.